When my way seems dark and drear and the future I don't know, my heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and a tempest fills my soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Take my life and make a vessel purified. God makes no mistakes. His way is best. When the toils of life are come and my heart is worn with care, I faint neath the burden of the cross I cannot bear. When the joy has departed from my sorrow-stricken soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Take my life and make a vessel purified. God makes no mistakes. His way is best. God makes no mistakes. His way is best.
Amen. Amen. That was a blessing, amen. Like I said in our prayer, we get everything on Wednesdays. We get to sing, we get to hear singing, we get to read the Bible, we get to pray, hear the Word. I mean, what else do you need? Amen. So the next part is reading the Word, okay? So as I get the mic situated, if you would like to read Psalm 80, you can go ahead and line up there. But everybody else, if you could stand, we're going to read Psalm 80. There's 19 verses. Whenever you are ready.
Amen. Take care, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Abraham, your friend, and Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure.
Amen. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and thou didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars.
She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doeth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doeth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that hath madest strong for thyself.
It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. And brother, you come.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to hear the word of God out loud. And what a sweet spirit it is already in this place. And it's good to see you all once again. And but amen, I tell you what a blessing. Wednesday nights are probably one of my favorite times of church. It really is. And the core group is usually at every church on Wednesday night. And what sweet fellowship we have with the Lord. If you got through your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. And as you are turning there, I want you to also to hold your place in Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. But Nehemiah chapter number 13. And as you're turning there, I want to preach tonight on the salt, being the salt of the earth, being salt of the earth. And tonight, I believe, of course, we as Bible believers, we believe that we're living in a wicked world, that it's dark, dreary sometimes, it's hard, it's lonesome. But with everything that's going on, especially in America, you don't have to look no further. But there's got to be, in the darkness and in the wickedness that we live, there's got to be some type of salt, some type of light in this place. And so tonight, I pray that I can encourage you, be a help to you, on this thing of being the salt of the earth. I want you to see an unusual scripture. Sometimes we pass over it, like the cellars of oil that Joash was in. But I want you to notice in verse number 7 of Nehemiah chapter number 13. In verse number 7 it says, I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Now, we got to understand a little bit of the background. Nehemiah is coming back once again. And as he's there in Jerusalem, after they have built the walls, we see Elisha. They've built him a chamber in the house of the God. He's living there in the courts of the house of God, verse number 8. And it grieved me sore. I underline this in my Bible. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. So they took all Tobiah's stuff and they cast it out on the street and they was getting him out of there. Now I know that sounds cruel, but tonight there's sometimes we, as salt of the earth, we've got to make sure that we are doing what needs to be done for the Lord in this life. And casting the wrong things out of our lives is the right thing and the godly thing and the holy thing. As we sung just a minute ago, take time to be what?
Holy.
Holy is something that a lot of people don't like. Everybody, they'd love to come to church, but they don't want to hear of a holy God. They don't want to hear of a holy Bible. They don't want to hear about living a righteous life. But notice, he throws Tobiah's stuff right there on the streets. And notice here, it says, then I commanded and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God and with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work, which were fled, every one to his field. Notice verse number 11. The first two words. Then contended I. Now you understand that what contending means. Contending is putting up your dukes for the faith, contending. Sometimes we got to get a little bit rough, I understand. Yeah, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. But when it comes to the things of God, we have to stand firm on our feet, what we believe.
Amen.
And fight for what we believe. We have to fight for what we believe. Because there is wolves in sheep's clothing that is trying to just take away everything that is good and everything that is right in this life. We know all over television, the homosexual crowd and the transgender crowd, the LGBTQ and all that, you know, they've tried to take over the rainbow color. But their color is six different colors to make their rainbow. You all know what six means. Six is the number of man. But our rainbow, God's rainbow that is that He created, it's seven. And seven is a perfect number. It's the completion number. And God, He has His number. And I'm thankful that they cannot take away the rainbow that God put in the sky. This year, my wife was telling me in Kentucky of the Ark, and I hope that maybe someday you all can get a big old bus. It'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. Everybody in this room, to be able to take a bus from Glory Baptist Church, tell Brother Larry that, and go to Kentucky and go see the Ark. And from now on, I think they're going to shine the rainbow colors of God's colors, the seven, upon that boat, because the gay and the lesbian crowd are not going to take away our colors that God created.
Amen.
We come here, it says Nehemiah, he said, I got to buy stuff and I threw it out of the chambers. He said in verse number 11, then contended I. Notice in the last part of number 11, it says, and set them in their what?
Place.
Have you ever set somebody in their place? Sometimes you have to. Sometimes out of Christian love, we have to set some people in their place and rebuke them in love. There's a difference. Not because we hate them, but because they need to be told the truth. Notice what happens. It says, verse number 14, it says, "Remember me, O God, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds." So do you all think tonight that we as Christians, we ought to have good deeds? We do, shouldn't we? Is that going to get us to heaven? No, by no means. But still yet, as a Christian, as God's children, we ought to have good works, we ought to have good deeds, and we ought to shine like a light and be salt of the earth. I want you to notice in verse number 16, though, it's a very odd verse. But a verse tonight that most people that live today, they don't understand this verse. But I want you to see here, it says, "There dwelt men of Tyre." Now, I encourage you tonight to be able to look in the back of your Bibles where the maps are. You can look in the maps in the very back of your Bible and you can find Tyre, T-Y-R-E, Tyre. And the Bible says, "There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah, and in," notice this, "Jerusalem." Now, if you will look, this is just to get the message tonight going. If you will look at your map and see Tyre, and then you look and see where Jerusalem is at, these men, these fishermen, they were fishing, and they would catch fish there at the Mediterranean Sea, and they would sell their fish, believe it or not, in the Jerusalem marketplace. I ask you a question tonight. How in the world is that possible? It wouldn't be possible if there wasn't an element that was given. Would you all like to ride on a camel? Not a car, not an airplane or a helicopter, but to be able to ride over 100 miles across the desert in 100-degree weather on a camel or on a donkey, whichever you prefer. With no shade, with a bunch of stinky fish. How would you feel when you was in the Jerusalem marketplace and you see the caravan of the men of Tyre coming there and they're bringing that fish to sell to you and your family? Do we understand how long it takes for fish to start stinking? There's not a smell like it, is there? How was it possible? Did they have a cooler? Did they have a Yeti? They didn't have a Yeti. I would like to have a Yeti. They didn't have a Yeti. They didn't have coolers. But one thing that they did have was salt. And back in the Bible times, guys, they used salt. And they would put that fish in salt from the Mediterranean Sea. They would get the salt from there to be able to preserve the fish, to be able to travel all those many miles, to be able to sell it in the Jerusalem marketplace and to still be fresh. Amen. It was because of the salt. Right. Early in American history, maybe saw the story of, or even saw the movie of Old Yaller. And you remember as they had hung those big pieces of venison and a half of a deer in on their porch, and they would put salt all over it. And they would have a smokehouse back in those days. A lot of people had smokehouses. And they would cover it in salt to preserve it. You see, salt was used so much back in that day. Nowadays, all we use is Salt, four, is in our little shakers, pepper, salt and pepper, just for the taste. But back then, it was more for a preservative. And, you know, when we look at this piece of Scripture and when we start reading our Bibles and start seeing how salt was actually used and see what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter number 5 and verses number 13 through 16, which I'm going to turn there in just a few moments, we kind of see what how salt was used and how salt he applies to the Christian life. There's got to be a little bit of salt, and that salt cannot lose its savor. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And the Bible says this in verses number 13, a very familiar piece of Scripture. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Then he goes on ahead and says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then he says, "Let your light so shine before men." Notice this, "that they may see your good works and glorify," that's the end result, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, one thing about being the light of the world, what does the light represent? Well, light, we all know it attracts. A lot of times it attracts bugs and insects. You go to a ball game and you see those big lights up there. What is swarming around those lights? It's a bunch of bugs, isn't it? So lights attract, lights repel, and I've been in some people's houses, and they've had those little zap machines, and there'll be a bzzz, and it'll finally touch it, zip, and you're thinking, man, it's almost electrifying, and it kills whatever touches it, but they're attracted by the light. It repels, it requires a source. And that source is Jesus Christ for the Christian. But as we look at the salt, we understand the light pretty good. In many years in my childhood, I understood as a young child what, when Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world," that was very easy for me to understand because we always understand what lights can do. They can light up a room. They can light up something that's dark. And that light is something that we need to be a light for Jesus Christ in this walk of life. One thing I cannot stand of being around is a Christian that's negative all the time, that has a frown on their face, that has no joy in their heart. And tonight we're kings and priests. I'm telling you, tonight we are the children and children of God. Can you imagine one day when this life is over, our home is in heaven? Amen. What a blessing. Yes. What a blessing. Hey, I have something to smile about. People at work all the time, they're always asking me, "Man, are you always happy?" Well, not always, but there is always joy in my heart. I hurt, I cry. There's been many times that I've had tears in my eyes. A lot of things that's happened in our life, it'll make you cry, it'll make you upset, it'll make you just want to eat a bowl of ice cream. By the way, If y'all ever get a chance, this is free. If y'all ever get a chance, get the brand new thing of ice cream from Blue Bell. That is the, Miss Tracy, Dr. Pepper float. It's going to be in heaven when we get there. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, it is the best thing I've ever tasted in all my life. But you know what? I do get depressed. I've been in, man, I've been down and out before. But even in those times, yes, it looks like I'm happy all the time. And there is a something that is driving me. And there is a passion within me. And that is the joy of the Lord. And if you're sitting here and you're saved tonight, they ought to be a joy that's in your heart no matter what you're going through, no matter if it's sickness or pain, no matter if it's heartache, no matter if it's a job loss, there is still, it ought to be a joy that's in your heart that only God could give. You know, talking about this salt though, I don't think that I truly understood as a child what the salt meant. You know, there's a lot of what salt really is. It's amazing to me why God put salt upon the earth. It's amazing to me. It amazes me what salt can do. Just think about these four things real quickly. Salt preserves, which we're going to see tonight. I'm going to talk about preservation. But salt, it preserves. How would you like going to the pantry and you're opening up a jar of jam, blackberry jam of all of them? I love blackberries. Tonight after service, we're going to pick some blackberries, okay? If they was. Blackberry jam, and you took the lid off, you twisted it, and you heard the pop, pop. But when you looked at it, there was fungus and mold around the seal and on the inside of the jar. What would y'all do? Just scrape around it? I wouldn't want to eat something like that, would you? Oh, come on now. You guys, y'all go to the fast food restaurants and they drop your burgers on the floor. And y'all still eat it. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, bless His food. But we wouldn't eat it. But what it's supposed to do is when it's sealed, it's supposed to preserve that food, whatever it is. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, He seals us. He seals us unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God, and you think about this, we ought to be the salt of the earth. It preserves, and I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God, but salt preserves, salt purifies, salt pleases. How can you, it'd be hard for us tonight to have some mashed potatoes in front of us without salt. Man, I like salt on my potatoes. Salt also prods. Have you ever put salt in something where you've cut yourself and put a little salt on there, man, it'll burn, won't it? But tonight I want to talk about salt preserving. I already said tonight I'm very concerned with how the direction of our country is going. And I guess more than anything, I'm very concerned of how the church is going. Bible-believing churches, no matter the denomination, if we want to fight against that, but actual Bible-believing churches are hard to find anymore. And I think that's a shame. Where have we went to? But I believe tonight, I believe that we're living in the last times. I believe we're coming to the very end. And you say, well, Brother Jake, do you know when it's going to be? No, I don't. Nobody does. Only God Himself, and He's going to tell His Son to come and get His children. But at the same time, it could happen at any moment. Right. Amen. I was talking to the brother before service. And he said there was four homicides this month. It's unbelievable in Missouri City. Our neighbor, he's in jail. Hopefully he's in jail tonight, I'm hoping. But yet he, just the other day, he crossed the road. My wife and kids were there. They had the cops out, and we live in the hood. But they had their guns out, and man, they got this guy. He kicked the door in and went in with the lady and was trying to steal stuff and all this. He already had an armed robbery. But yet he went in, and the only reason that they caught him, he went in, I think he had a green shirt on. He changed his shirt and put his shirt in the trash can and went, had a little bag there, and he put a white shirt on. And the cops came in, and they had their guns pulled on him, and he was like, what? And they was looking for somebody in a different colored shirt. The only thing the cops had left after they talked to him for a while, they went back to the lady that he kicked the door in and robbed her. They went back to talk to her, and they said, no. She said, no, that's him. And the neighbor they had seen him lift that trash can, change his shirt, put on a new shirt so nobody could recognize who he was. Pretty smart, but yet pretty dumb. I wish I could have been there. You say, Brother Jake, what would you have done? No. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Maybe. I wish I could have been there and see those cops pull their guns. I've never seen nothing like that. You got to understand, I'm not from Houston. So what you guys see every day is just unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what to do. But at the same time, it's because the world's bad. It's everywhere. And guys, what we're seeing right now in our country, it is a mess.
Yes, it is.
What's keeping God from coming? There's still souls being saved. Lives are still being changed. There's still churches that are still giving the missions and trying to reach souls for Christ. There's still people out there trying to be the salt and the light of the world. I believe tonight this world, yes, it would be already gone, but I believe there's a little bit of salt that's still left that's preserving this place. I believe there's a little bit of salt in our elderly. I believe there's still moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas that are still praying and still working and still are trying to get their children to know Jesus Christ and this book that has changed America. Out of all the books that's in the library, out of all the books in history, out of everything, the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible, that book, it has changed the world. Hitler tried to burn it. They tried to get rid of the Word of God all the way down through history, and they thought they had success, but they didn't have success because God has preserved His Word. One thing that you do not have to be scared about is to know, is the Bible that you hold in your hand, is this the Word of God? I encourage you to try this book. I encourage you to put this book against anything. When you go to Walmart, when you go to any major box store, the one book that they hate, the one book that they don't want to put out, it's always the King James Bible. Why? Why is that? They will put out the NIV. They will put out all the other versions. How come? how come they put out this one, but yet they will put this one out? Because they say, well, the language is archaic. Well, you know, it's thou shalt. And man, I can't believe, man, the God of this Bible, he says no. Yes, God says no. But God has a lot of yeses too.
Yes, he does.
There's a lot of yeses. You know, he only had 10 commandments in the Old Testament. Is that a whole lot? And then New Testament, 2. All the prophets and everything, the law hangs on 2. Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, by all thy soul and might. You think about all that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You think, is that bad? Is that cruel to be able to hang in our kids' maybe public schools? Thou shalt not steal. I believe my neighbor should have read that one. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Is that a bad one? No. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But you see, in the wicked world that we live, people do not want a rule book. They want to, they'll be able to, they can go to work and they'll say, I want you to wear this at work. I want you to cut your hair at work. I want you to dress this way. I want you to act this way. Hey, there's no cussing here at work in front of our customers. And we abide by those rules, don't we? Everybody does if you're going to have a job. But when it comes to church and comes to God and comes to this Bible, we wave our fist at God and we say, nobody is going to tell us what to do, God. This is our time. This is my life. Oh, how sad. But you know what I think is going on? I think God, He's still waiting because there's still salt that's in this world. That salt could be here at Glory Baptist Church. You guys might be, seriously, seriously, holding this city together. Have you ever thought about that? You see, how can we hold everything together? What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's look at that, by the way. Let's look at that. Sodom and Gomorrah, have you thought about that place? Was it a wicked place? It was, wasn't it? A very wicked place. And yet, I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18, and I won't be very long, but I want you to look at this. Genesis chapter number 18 and verses number 32. And this is just Abraham, he's talking with the Lord. And he goes down and he says, man, if there's 45 righteous, will you destroy it? And he says, no, I won't destroy it for 45 in verses number, verse 28. He says, what if there's 40? I won't do it for 40. What about for 30? In verse 30 there, no, I won't do it for 30. 20, he goes to 20 in verse number 31 of chapter 18. He goes all the way down to verse number 32, and he says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10. He goes all the way down to 10. If 10 shall be found there, and he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. I want to ask you a question tonight. Would God, a holy and just God, would He destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 45 people that were righteous? He wouldn't, would He?
No.
For 40? No. 30? No. 20? No. 10? No. He would have saved the whole place if they was found 10.
Right.
Abraham, he left communing there because Abraham thought that surely they would be 10. But they wasn't. God still got Lot and his family out of there. Of course, we know Lot's wife, she turned around, looked back, and
came to be a pillar of
salt.
What do you think happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? I'd say there wasn't a lot of salt there, was he? There's a lot of people, like Lot, his wife. Was they saved? Was they God's people? Yes. You can look back in the book of Hebrews and find, hey, just Lot. He was a righteous man. But he was, it vexed his soul every single day. It vexed him because he was living in that wicked place. But what was happening? You see, Lot was at the gates. Meant he had authority there. But he wasn't being a salt like he needed. He wasn't the salt that was preserving that place. I wonder about your homes tonight. What's holding your home together? There's got to be some salt that preserve. What I'm trying to do with my children, and I don't know if I'll get to do it or not because they're still young, but I'm hoping me and my wife can preserve some things in their life. I'm hoping that I can make sure my house, the church house, is all of us. But my house is personal. My house, I've got to make sure the right things are at my house. I am supposed to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of husband, the right kind of father. I got to make sure I'm reading my Bible and praying every day. I got to make sure I'm walking with God. I got to make sure I'm teaching my kids the Word of God. I'm trying to preserve some things. Yes, this world might go to hell in a handbasket, but let me tell you something. I want to make sure my children are growing up in the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes, they might be cussing out here. Yes, they might be cursing God and saying, hey, all the Bible is untrue. But I hope and pray in the Tucker household, in my house, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. What about your house? You know, it's hard not to compromise. I have in my family, which I'd say everybody does, I have a homosexual in my family, distant family, probably a cousin. And Miss Mary, is that right? Miss Mary, I don't mistreat him. I shake his hand. I treat him like a human being. I talk and I'm nice, I'm polite. But at the same time, he knows where I stand.
Right. Amen.
And I know where he stands. I try to be a light there. I don't dog him. I don't ram that down his throat.
No.
But I'll make little statements. If he says something, I'll say something. Well, Jesus loves you.
Okay.
Man. And we'll talk. If he gives me opportunity, I'll say something. But you know what? We can't just say, well, I compromise. That's just, he's born that way.
No.
He's born that way. The Bible, Lord, you're right on most of your word, but Lord, you're wrong on this part.
No.
Now, Lord is never wrong, is he?
That's right.
God, has God ever been wrong?
No.
He hasn't. And we're going to be in our country right now, we are pressured. We're so pressured at our jobs. At now Target, they're putting mannequins of the devil with the horns and the pitchfork and all that. And all these places, KFC is another one now. They're coming out and they're selling all these clothing, lines of clothing. And they're trying to pressure us. Even cartoons, they're trying to pressure our kids. You know, it used to be about Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Now it's pressured that, hey, the homosexual and the gay and the lesbian and the transgender crowd, we get to take over. What makes you think that little kids that go to school that can barely talk, They can say mama, dada, and they're using the bathroom, pottying by themselves for the first time. They're going into kindergarten, and now they're coming in the library, and they're so excited. They're just kind of jittery, and they're sitting in the library, and now here comes a drag queen to come read a story to them.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. When is the Lord going to come? You all ever feel like you don't fit in? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm only 41. I know that's old to some of y'all. I'm only 41, but I feel like a dinosaur already. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this can't be true. I know I'm getting a little bit of white hairs. I know my hair's receding. I'm ready to go bald. And man, I'm so excited when I go bald. No more haircuts. No more. No, I'll just pluck it out. But I feel like I'm old now. I feel like I'm outdated. You know why? Is because the same way Lot felt, he was vexed every second of the time. Guys, I'm not telling you anything new. What you have here at Glory Baptist Church is something unusual. This room, this place, you people, you all come together, you come and worship the Lord. He gets up and sings and plays his guitar. Man, everybody was singing and in the pews. This is a little oasis for you guys to come to get out from this dark world, to get your minds straightened, because all the commercials, all the things that's out in the world, they're trying to get our minds on those things. And that they got to be some salt. That will still will be preserving. Just as those fish were packed with salt, as Christian, God wants us to act as the agent of preservation of this in this old world. We live in an evil and corrupt world. Yet tonight I believe God is mercifully holding His final judgment upon this earth, because there are still some people who love Him tonight, who desire to make a difference for Him in this walk of life. There are still some people that are still trying to raise their grandkids and their kids for the name of the Lord. There's still some people that have a little bit of passion to serve a holy and righteous God. And I'm hoping tonight, I'm talking to a group of people tonight that is not going to give up. No matter the cost. No matter the cost. Do we love? Yes, we love. God is love. But our God, He is a righteous God also. Our God judges. And everybody's wanting to point the finger. Oh, you cannot judge. You cannot judge. You cannot judge. Lord, help us today. As they brought that fish to Jerusalem, from Tyre all the way to the Jerusalem marketplace, how'd they hold it together? How'd they keep the fish fresh? How did they be able to sit there and sell it and people would buy it? It's all because of the salt that they use. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." The salty Christian today will help to protect himself, his family, his church, from all the things that's trying to kill and destroy and damage this walk of life. In Roman times, people, their soldiers were not paid by money. They were paid by salt. And that's where we get that old saying, a man who is worth his salt. Meant who is worth his pay. You see, salt was used. And God is still using salt today. Are you still that salty? Are you still that one that's preserving things in your house, in your church? Are you still one of those ones that are trying to be a salty Christian and a light unto the people in your path? You see, salt is no good if it's cast out and trodden down. Salt is no good. The light is no good if it's not on a candlestick. We sing that song. This little light of mine. This always made me dizzy. No, go ahead. This little light of mine. Everybody get your little lights out. Shine them for Jesus. Everybody show your light. Show your little light. Oh, yeah, I like you adults smiling. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I loved when I did that in church. I would do my light like this, and I'd love when there's a boy there, I'd hit him in the back of the head. That little song. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. The Lord, He wants us to hold that light. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're saved and born again, you've got that light inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God, when you got saved and born again, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. The moment of salvation, He lives inside of you. You're a new creature. He lives inside of you, and that light's got to shine through. That salt, you need to be salty. Be salty. Make sure you're the salt of the earth. Make sure you're the light of the world. We are it, guys. We are it. If we're going to make the difference until Jesus comes, if we're going to do all we can, hey, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is ready to return. He can return at any time. But is He going to find, when He comes, was there any light that was still left? Is there any salt that still hasn't lost its savor? Is there still a woman that still loves me? Is there still a man that wants to serve me? Where is my people that is supposed to love me back for who I am and what I did? Where are my people? When you read the Word of God, and I'm through, when you read the Word of God, Jesus Christ did a great work in His earthly ministry. Is that correct? A lot of souls were saved. But when He was crucified, they all fled. Are you going to flee away too? He asked His disciples, are you going to go away too? Peter said, no, not so, Lord. That's what we've got to do. Lord, this life is tough, but God, I'm going to try my very best with Your power. I'm going to walk in Your steps, and I'm going to try to be the light that You've given me. I'm going to try to be a mirror of that light, and I'm going to try to make sure that I'm the salt for my family. I'm going to try to preserve everything I possibly can of what thus saith the Word of the Lord, no matter what this country does, no matter what my family does. God, I want to put You first because I love You.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, as the piano player gets ready for a song of invitation, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I desperately want to be the salt and the light of the world. Lord, I fail You so much. And Lord, I sometimes compromise when I don't need to compromise. And God, sometimes I'm quiet when I don't need to be quiet. And God, sometimes I love other things, that the cares of this life, a little bit too much. Help me tonight, forgive me. Help me to love you back for who you are and what you've done. Help me be a light and salt in this world as you ask me to be. I pray that you'll bless these people here that sit in the pews and they've listened so intently. And Lord, I can already tell by their eagerness to listen that they love you. I pray, Lord, that they'll finish their days of being that salt and light. I pray that you'll bless the pastor, bless the people here, and help them to keep walking forward of being that salt and light. Because, Lord, you are a great God. In Jesus' precious holy name, I do pray. Amen. As we stand to our feet, every head bowed, eyes closed, this piano's playing. Take time to be holy is what she's playing. What you all just sang, take time to be holy. God wants us to take time and be holy. Are you holy tonight? Are you trying to live a holy life? Are you trying to be that salt for your family? It's hard. It's hard. Are you trying to be that light? Won't you come to these altars tonight if you have a need at all? Won't you come and ask God to help you to stand strong in these last days? Won't you ask God, Lord, help me be a light to my family. How many of you tonight have a lost individual in your family? Raise your hand. You know somebody lost. Who's going to be a light? Who's going to be a light to your family? Won't you come and ask God to give you a help to be able to tell your family about Him? Won't you come and ask God, Lord, help me to be that salt and light to my lost family member? Have you ever prayed for them? Got on your knees in front of a holy and righteous God and begged God, Lord, save them. If you're here and lost and don't know Jesus Christ as your person,
take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in Him always, and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. led by His Spirit to fountains of love. Thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.